Dear Shooter, so you have one of those fancy ballistic apps, but the data just doesn't work out. We're going to help you through this mess. We promise to keep it simple, but I can't promise there won't be any math.
But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents. Wow, you need to make
a clip on, it's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that, that isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Deer Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
I guess that means it's Thursday, and I am Jason Croteau, here with Jason Wilson and Brandy. So, ballistic apps, they can be the best thing in the world, or they can be the most pain in the ass thing in the world.
Well, they can. And good data in, good data out, check, but verify.
Right.
Because there's always an anomaly that you either missed or you don't understand.
Right. And that's what happened. So I'm right in the middle of a 3-day long range class, and that's what happened to us today. We plugged in all the data and everything was just as exact as we could get it. I mean, I had 15 rounds of data just to get the speed. We had the BC, we had the bullet length, and we had everything plugged in, the weather, the humidity, everything. And come to find out, like when we went and started verifying targets, we were off by like 4 minutes.
4 minutes.
And, in some cases, as we got farther out, it became more like 10 and 12 minutes.
So 4 minutes. You're seeing this. You got your zero, right?
That's
a natural point of aim.
Yep.
We're going to call it, what, 100 yards?
100 yards.
All right. And then your next measurable was what distance?
2.
All right, so 200 yards. And you were off by 4 minutes at 200 yards?
At 200 yards, we were actually off 2.6 because
okay.
We put 2.6 on a gun. And took a shot, and it was way high. So I'm like, all right, just turn it back to zero and hit right
okay.
on.
Okay, so what increment is your turret metered in?
Quartered minute.
And you verified that.
Yes.
You went back to 100 yards, checked a box test.
Yep.
And so you're not running third minute or some crazy thing.
No, we checked all that before we even started going out.
All right.
Okay, now your guys, though, so did you have a squirrel moment or anything during that process?
No. And here was the thing. We were plugging in the data on two different apps just because I wanted to see if they spit out the same numbers, which okay. they did. I mean, they were a hundredth of a...
I'm going to assume you were doing it right at this point and give you the benefit of the doubt. But you're 2.6 minutes high or low? You're high.
We're high.
All right. Then where you should have been according to the app data.
Right. So we at 200 yards, we put it back to zero, and it was a dead hit.
Okay.
All right. So fast forward to...
You're dialing this. You're not trying to use the reticle.
Yes. All no, right. We're dialing it because I wanted to verify every 100 yards. Okay. And we're doing this on metered steel, which is 2 minutes.
Right.
So fast forward to 1,000 yards. The data is telling me that we should be dialing 41.1 minutes.
Okay.
In actuality, we are at 28.
All right. So you have a speed problem. Something in your BC, your bullet weight, the actual velocity, the calculation there somewhere is not tracking something.
That's and I can't figure out what it is.
I mean, I'm pretty sure this is, what, a 308?
Mm-hmm.
And you're running a
147. 147. Full metal
so
jacket.
So it's a light bullet. 1 in 10 twist?
I believe it's 1 in 10.
Okay. It's a little loose for that lightweight bullet, but it's not going to be horrible. Well, it's not going to affect you to the levels we're talking
about. No, and oddly enough, when we were zeroing, started out with a 175 match, and the 147 grouped, 146 grouped way better.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Because your 110s, usually it's that the 155 to 168s is, mm-hmm. lives right there. You can go out to 112, and usually you're stabilized in the 175s.
Right.
The 180s, because you're running a 308.
Right. Because tighter the twist, the heavier the bullet.
Correct. That's exactly right.
308 is an angry bumblebee, though.
Yeah, but I have tamed it.
He has a bumblebee on a leash.
I'm going to so get one of those.
So you're going to have to go back, and I hate to say it, guys, but you're going to have to spend time with the data and actual shooting of it to see where the system starts to align.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to fudge some numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems wrong, but you're going to have to try and tell the computer that this 308 is moving at 3,200 feet a second.
Right.
You'll get good data out of that to a point, though. Because it won't sustain over a distance course.
Right.
Because you're really not moving that fast.
But at the same token, that this is part of why we do this in this class, is go and verify that data with actual rounds on target. Because, you know, the math may work, but reality will throw you a curveball every time.
So here's another question. So you were dialing each of these to verify.
Yes.
Are we sure the turrets are dialing as they should?
Yes, because we verified all that with a box test.
That's the litmus test. If you move a minute over and it prints a minute over, you move a minute down, it prints a minute down, you move it back to zero and it's in that same hole you started out with, the scope's tracking. Now, mm-hmm. you can take it all the way out to an 8-minute test. When I typically run QC on an optic at the shop, we run an 8-minute test. That gives you 16 minutes either side of center.
Right.
And you'll start to see if there's a problem with the erector tube system at all. I'm not looking for tracking at that point. I'm looking for horizontal, vertical straightness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But, I mean, if the turrets are performing as advertised and only thing you've got is your issue over distance in your data, you can true that up by shooting the gun.
Right.
And you're going to probably live in a logbook. Sorry, dude. the app does make things a lot easier, but until we figure out what anomaly in data is throwing you off, you're going to live with your data book on previous engagement. You just are.
And I'll be honest with you. Most of the time, I do that anyway. I run an arm board that's got all my data on it, because to me, that's faster than going through and doing my app, especially if I'm shooting competition, because those stages, they just go fast.
But you're that weird Harold that has spent days building the arm board.
I have.
To actually shooting the gun.
Right.
Yeah, and we're not talking about the math. We're actually building the arm band.
Oh, yeah, I don't doubt that a bit. You've got the needle out and the elastic.
Hey, sometimes you do what you got to do. I mean, way back in the day when I was a dirt poor rock climber, like, we made a lot of shit because we couldn't afford it.
That's why he had super glue stuck to his fingers. Now, you gotta verify your data. The computers are great and they make things easy, but there's always that one anomaly that's gonna make your head hurt.
Yeah, and I find this interesting because I have several rifles and I don't have this problem.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a total oddball to me. Usually, like, the data's off, but it's like a minute and a half kind of thing where that's easy to true up. But this one was just crazy. Like, you know,
well, if you're 2.6 off at 200 yards, there's a problem.
Right.
It's flying faster than your chronograph data is at some point, or there is something in the BC or the bullet weight in the calculations that you've got a unit of measure off somewhere. Instead of grains, you have grams. That could happen.
Oh, I might have to check that. I didn't look at that.
That'll throw your entire metrics completely off. If you put in 147 grams and you're shooting 147 grains.
Yeah. It's thinking I'm throwing a 50 cal projectile out of this thing.
Right. So you check all that out, because the devil's in the details. You'll find it.
Right, right. It was just weird. But that's, like I said, that's why we do all this. We calibrate the reticle. We run the box test. And we did, ours was 9 minutes horizontal. So we were 4.5 right, 4.5 left.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's enough tracking to see if there's something off.
Right.
But it tracked beautifully.
All right, so let's go out to 1,000 yards. With your 100-yard zero, you put on supposedly how much?
28 minutes.
That's a lot, but it is a 308. And then you were actual?
Yes. And confirmed with, like, 6 hits.
Okay. 28 minutes in the optic he's got, that's got to be pushing the travel.
Not really. I mean, his turret goes to, like, 50.
Interesting, because most optics are at 40 minutes either side of center.
Right.
Right? Depending on where your zero lands, depending if there's a MOA-adjusted rail or rake on it, you're not always in the mechanical center position of that optic when you start.
Right.
So that's out there a bit.
I'd be interested to see if tomorrow you don't dial it, just do holdovers and see if there's a difference.
Well, and that was the plan. But when we're verifying the data like this, I always dial it. That's basically the one time that I insist on dialing in this class. Otherwise, I tend to teach holdover because I think it's faster. You're not screwing with your turrets. You're not doing these things. But to verify data, I want students to dial. That way I know it's not them screwing up a holdover.
Well, and when you do go to check reticle, mark the increments in the reticle on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it at 100 yards and your ocular focus is set right for you, those should line up.
Right.
If not, damn close.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't use a black marker because you'll see black on black lines and it'll be real hard to see. But those should line up. At least your vertical tree should be similar.
Right.
If that's correct, go ahead and shoot it with the data that you know and see how the reticle is.
Right.
There is a possibility, and I have seen it before, where you have your turret caps marked in quarters and your actual turret motion metered in third minute.
No.
I have seen that before.
That's why I'm interested, just instead of dialing, just try the reticle and just see if it makes a difference. It may not.
Right.
Because everything you're telling me here, you're doing what you know how to do is right. And the computer is kicking out the data that it algorithms out, right?
Right.
My guess is either you have a speed issue and some sort of unit of measure, or you have a measurement issue and some unit of measure as far as weight or BC. G7, G5, G1. What are you using for your metrics?
G1.
Okay. All right. Those all make a kind of substantial difference if they're not talking together.
They do.
Right? I mean, interesting problem to have. It'd be kind of fun to be on the range with you tomorrow.
Well, we'll be there.
Interesting.
But it goes back to, you know, like you're saying, trust but verify.
That's right.
I've never seen one be this far off.
Well, it's consistently off to that level of degree as you go out, too. So your curve's there, just on the wrong unit of measure.
Yeah, and you say that while the turrets are listed as quarter minute, if we are moving a third minute, that would make up that difference.
Look, in a factory situation, it is not horribly hard to mess up a turret from one bin to another.
Right.
And they're laser engraved in batches, right? And they're not attached to the scope when they do that. So it's not inconceivable.
Right.
And I wouldn't even necessarily fault the manufacturer too much for that, other than they missed it in their quality control check before it left the shop. I'm not saying that's what it is, but listening to your woes and issues here, that's something to look at.
Right. But no, it makes it for an interesting day when you're sitting here, you're scratching your head going, what in the heck? Why is this so far off? But if it actually is turning in third minute versus quarter, that would explain it.
But wouldn't you have caught that during the box test?
The box, close enough, it might not have shown out too much. Well, I mean, worst case scenario, I've seen turrets built in mills metered with the caps in minutes. That'll cause you the same screw up. But yeah, that would have shown itself in a box test.
Yeah, and when we did the box test, I mean, the hits were off quarter, third, half inch, somewhere right in there. I mean,
half inch, half minute.
Yeah, but within margin of error of the shooter.
Okay. Well, I mean, as you reach out further, you still have that too.
Right. But, I mean, I'm fortunate with this class because my shooter, like, I don't have to teach him how to shoot.
All right, he's doing a good job.
Now I have to remind him about his thumb every once in a while.
Mechanics, they're always funny.
But no, like I, the fundamentals are there.
Good.
So, but, you know, with a zero, you're probably, I would say half minute.
Okay.
Right. Which, that's fair. Pretty respectable.
That's pretty respectable. I'm very interested to see how the reticle lines up. Because everything you've done so far has been by the turret.
Right.
A lot of times that's pretty reliable. If the reticle plays nice, now we got a whole new
Sherlock this thing.
Uh-huh.
Because, and that's just it. Like when we lined up the reticle on paper, because we have all of this stuff metered out. You know, basically we did a barber pole test.
Yep.
I mean, everything lined up exactly the way it should have.
On the reticle.
On the reticle.
All right, so you didn't dial this barber pole.
No.
Okay.
No. I just make sure and line up because, you know, the targets are metered in minutes for 100 yards.
Yep.
So as long as the reticle lines up, everything should be good. But, like you say, if it's a mechanical error in the turrets that we're not aware of.
Just a marking issue, probably.
Yeah. So, yeah, tomorrow will be interesting.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited to see this problem get solved because now I'm interested. First focal plane, second focal plane.
This is a first focal plane minute scope.
Interesting. All right.
It is interesting. It has its benefits because there's going to be one set of data.
Sure. Magnification range?
7 to 35.
So a big spread.
Yes.
We're talking about a 5 times magnification range.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody goes above like 18. So seriously,
at what magnification does the reticle come into usable? Because at 7,
he was running at 9,
and you can see increments in the
whole
deal.
Yeah. All right.
There is going to be Boyle's law is going to play. 5 times magnification, you're not going to get away from it. There is a sweet spot in this glass. I worry about reticles when you have that 5 times magnification because of this.
Right.
So. Pay attention to that as you go out as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to look at it. Tomorrow's going to be interesting because it's going to be a lot of now now we know what's going on. Like, we know where the bullet's going to go. Now I guess we got to see what the equipment's actually doing.
Well, your true and actual trued up data from shoot that is going to be your gospel. You're going to live there.
Right.
Just got to make sure the equipment now talks the same language.
Great. So we have an Apple reticle and Android turrets is what you're telling me.
It's potential. I haven't been behind the gun, and I couldn't say for 100% certain, but yeah, it's potential.
No, it's actually a really impressive setup. I got behind it a couple of times, and the gun shoots.
Nice. Very nice.
So another thing that I saw today, and this is something I hadn't seen before, is one of the pieces of gear that my shooter brought. So let's do a commercial, and we'll come back and talk about that.
All right.
If you haven't tried 10th Mountain Whiskey, can you even call yourself a shooter? Okay, Mr. AK guy that only drinks vodka. 10th Mountain has that too. Still too much? Maybe that cordial would suit your unrefined palate. But for you real pipe hitters out there, the single malt can't be beat. Whiskey is an acquired taste. And if you don't like whiskey, I suggest you acquire some taste. Just enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. It's whiskey worth fighting for.
Are you fed up with paying premium prices for mediocre performance? It might be time to up your game with Lucid Optics. Lucid Optics delivers world record-setting performance, without breaking the bank. From long-range precision, hunting application, and the first ever reflex optic in blue, your mission won't be compromised. Lucid Optics are built tough as nails for the most demanding situations, using ED shot glass to ensure your view is crystal clear and backing it up with a lifetime warranty. To learn more, ask your dealer or go to lucidoptics.com. Lucid Optics. On target. Under budget.
So I got to play with this a little bit today. It's an inflatable rear bag.
I've seen these.
But it's still got like the beanbag stuff in it. It's heavy, but it uses like a blood pressure cuff.
Yep,
thing.
I've seen these.
And oh my God, it's solid.
Yeah, the concepts cadacs are kind of cool. The beans inside, the almost beanie baby like mm-hmm. beans, they give it that normal rigidity kind of firmness. If you just need a little bit more, you can get some elevation out of it by pumping this thing up. I've also seen little plates that people put them on with a screw that, you know, has a lift table on them.
Yep.
Mostly in the ELR world.
Yeah.
We're using this on a field craft course.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that work?
Pretty slick, actually. When I first saw it, I kind of thought, a little gimmicky. But once I got behind it and used it a couple of times, it was like, oh, this is too easy. Because I don't even have to hardly hold the butt into the rifle. I just squeeze the little pump, and it does exactly what I need it to do.
So more of a bench rest environment in the field.
Yes.
How heavy is it?
It's heavy. It's in the, what is it, not the Schmedium, but the great big game changer weight class.
Okay, so that's the gear that stays home. I mean, I'm not taking that on a hunting trip.
No.
But I would definitely sit at the bench and play with it.
Oh, man. But no, it's slick. And this is kind of in the same vein, and I think it's AccuTac that's making the hydraulic, but that's the front bipod.
Yeah, the hydraulic one was born after a bench rest request, and they did a good job with it. They don't sell a lot of them because they're expensive, but they are nice. They're extremely nice.
Right. All right, so this thing, who is this made by? Our mascot is chiming in.
All right, so this thing's made by Ryan Cheney, ELR. So
yeah.
This is an ELR piece of kit.
Mm-hmm.
It is heavy. This is not something I'm going to carry in a field craft situation.
No.
But at a bench, playing with it here, yeah. It's easy to use. You don't have to fumble with much. Seems to be pretty durable, but my God, it is heavy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, what are we thinking here? 10 pounds?
Yeah, if it's an ounce, it's 10 pounds.
But
kind of cool
for stability wise. Heavy is good.
Yes.
But you're absolutely right. This is an ELR. This is a bench. Not something I'm going to go pack around the mountains.
And see, the beads are on the outside, separate chamber from the bladder.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not causing any interference where the comb of the rifle would sit.
No.
That's kind of nice. Great. Now I have a new toy I need to have.
Yeah, that's usually how it works out.
Thank you.
Normally, my students walk away going, man, I got to get me one of those. Now I'm sitting here going, man, I got to get me one of those.
Yeah, I'd seen it. I'd never actually played with one. This is kind of cool.
And one other thing that we kind of ran into, so shows up with a 338 Lapua can. And usually when you have a significant diameter difference from the suppressor you're using to the actual caliber you're shooting, a lot of times they're louder than they probably should be because you're more gas is escaping.
In theory, yeah.
But this thing is, I mean, it's a shusher.
Thunderbeast, man.
Oh, man, it is so quiet.
Yeah, I got to play with that can the other night, and it's a nice piece of gear. All of my Thunderbeasts, that's an interesting one to say, plural, all the ones I have are extremely quiet for what they do.
When you don't blow them up.
Well, I did that. I did that. It was a definite a tune change when it went that way, though.
I bet.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Honestly, I don't know.
Was it an overpressure situation?
I think it was a series of overpressure situations, because when I called Thunderbeast and said, hey, this just happened, I don't know what my options are, please help me, they giggled and said, were you running this on something high pressure? I'm like, well, 28 nozzler. And the guy giggled and goes, yeah, your can was not made for that. I went, oh, I'm sorry, so where am I in this process? And he goes, send it to me. So I sent it out. They x-ray it. They check it. They replace the internals. They re-weld it. In 48 hours, it was back in my possession. And I asked them how much they owed me.
You owed them?
Well,
yeah.
It's usually the other way around. So, yeah, I asked them how much I owed them. And they told me, you know, just enjoy the can. I was a little taken back. Excellent customer service, great timeline. They laughed at me a little bit, but they just fixed it.
Right. You know, and I've noticed that with customer service. You're just honest with them and go, here's what happened.
Yeah.
Most of the time, they're going to take care of you.
And I got the folks at Thunderbeast are top-notch, especially that way.
Yeah. So, I don't even know. I mean, we're kind of coming up on it. What are we blaming shit on this week?
Oh, I'm blaming Biden for everything.
Oh, yeah, well. Yeah.
I mean, all that crap in the past 5 years. And now he's going to say, I was sick.
Yeah, well, we all knew it.
Everybody knew he was sick. But I don't know. I don't know which way you voted. I guess it doesn't really matter. But at the end of the day, I don't have any sympathy. I really don't.
No.
And maybe that's nasty of me, but I just don't.
Well, it's hard to... with someone who has spent, you know, what, 54 years of his life screwing over the American public.
My rub with him started way back in the 80s when he got caught plagiarizing.
Yeah.
And apologized for it and stayed in office.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily blame Biden for all the shenanigans. I blame the American people for keeping him where he was.
Agreed. And I don't think people take enough responsibility for the way they vote.
Completely.
Because that's the only way things ever change.
Right. I've been seeing a lot of things come across asking if I'm still happy with the vote of voting for Trump. And the begrudging answer is, of the choices, he was the better one.
What choice did we have?
I don't always agree with Donald Trump. And if that gets me hate mail, so be it. But at the end of the day, he's good for the country from a constitutional standpoint.
Well, I think from a constitutional standpoint, and yes, I have my grievances with him as well, because, you know, the tariff thing just totally makes the stock market go haywire. So, you know, trading lately has been challenging, to say the least.
No tangible reason. It's all based out of fear.
It is. It's all emotion, and it's all news-based. You know, technicals don't work anymore. So, and every time somebody opens their mouth, between Trump and Powell, anytime either one of them opens their mouth, the market just does Fruit Loops.
Sure.
And so, there's times I'm just like, shut up.
Oh, there's lots of times. I wish he would just be quiet. But I would also say on the other side of it, every time he says something stupid, you watch a little grin on his face when he says it.
Yeah.
Because he's baiting the other side into showing how dumb they are.
He is. So, and at the end of the day, I mean,
he's a smart man.
And I think that's everybody's biggest gripe with Trump is, you know, we're in that instant gratification culture.
Yes.
And because all of these things that he promised in the campaign haven't come true already, right? Everybody's like, well, he's horrible. He's not getting done. He's not doing this. He's not. This stuff takes time. We are dealing with 50 years of institutional bullshit that he's trying to reverse. To fix, I mean, because you look at the tariff situation, we are getting screwed.
We are. And I have a hard time. If you actually look at the record, he has gone out and done exactly what he said he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taken $0 for it.
That's right.
Right, wrong, or indifferent, I have a hard time beating the guy up too hard.
I do too. And it's, you know, there's a lot of benefit of the doubt going on because we saw his performance in his first term. Mm-hmm. You know, he did pretty much everything he said he was going to do. COVID was an anomaly. But at the end of the day, the tariff things, you know, fixing our relations with other countries, these things take time. And he's been in office for what, 4 months now?
Yeah, and I will tell you that one of the issues that's near and dear to my heart, and I weigh most politicians by how they stand on it, the Second Amendment.
Right.
He is proven to be a very strong supporter constitutionally of the Second Amendment, and he has taken steps to erode and get rid of all of those measures that the Biden administration, the Obama administration, the Clinton administration had put in place to start eroding on those rights. So I will applaud him on that regard.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But, oh, crap, we are down to it. So we'll shut up and get out of here. But until next week, I'm going to blame Android. No.
Your app. You're going to blame
I'm going to blame the app.